ELC Radio.
Imagine with me for a moment what could be. Imagine a world where men lead in their marriages, where men lead in raising their children, where men lead in protecting those who are weak and oppressed. It is the most important journey you could possibly be on.
Men of ELC, join us for Kingsman, the second Friday of each month at 7 p.m. Iron sharpens iron.
Love God, lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church.
Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
Now, if your biscuits, cakes, or pies absolutely refuse to rise, get the stuff that's always slick. That baking soda, it does the trick.
Romans chapter 8, 18 through 19. Are you guys there? It says this: "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God." Let's go ahead and pray. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for this day that you've made. This day that we could come into the house of God and be amongst our brothers and sisters and gather around a word. But Lord, the word that has power, the word that has strength, that can change our situations. Lord, you said if the word would be planted in our hearts, there would be nothing that we couldn't do. You said it's the word that's in our hearts that can move mountains. And I know some of us in this place need some mountains moved in their life. Father, I pray for your anointing to be here to preach and pull down strongholds and to plant the word in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. I'm excited about this word because I really believe that there's power in it for those that might have an ear to hear. Amen. The Bible talks about if those that have an ear to hear, let them hear. Because I'll tell you this, not everybody has an ear to hear. Okay? Everybody that comes to church don't get the same blessing. Perfect, guys. Thank you. Everybody that comes to the house of God's not walking out of here with the same blessing. And that's unfortunate, okay? And I already said earlier a couple things that help contribute to what it is that you walk out of the presence of God with. Number one, it's your praise and your worship. That dictates the level of blessing that you walk out of the house with. Number two, the other thing that dictates that is what you bring to the Lord. And so many people come to church and don't bring anything. They come to church just to take. Amen? Not this church. Amen? Praise God. Not this church. But some churches. Some churches, all they want to do is take from God. But the Bible is very clear that Jesus said, hey, when you understand the kingdom, you understand it's better to give than to receive. Now, that doesn't make any kind of sense in the natural to people that only walk in that realm of the natural, okay? There's more to this thing than that. There's more to this than to just be takers, takers, takers. God doesn't want us to be takers. He wants us to be partakers. And what's the difference? The difference is this. When God created Adam and Eve, he wasn't looking for robots to simply serve him. He was looking for sons and daughters to work with him. That's what God's after. He's looking and searching the earth for people that want to get involved in his business, that want to work with him to accomplish the will of God in the earth. Now, most people, all they want to do is take from God. They come to God, take, take, take. But listen, we've been saying it. It's time we start understanding it and living it. This thing isn't a relationship. This thing isn't a religion. It's a relationship. And any good relationship has an understanding that you're going to have to work together in some things. Amen? Now, as I was preparing for this, to get into this series, what's been on my heart since the summer is that God wants to do miracles in the house. And there's some people here that unless God moves for you, your situation is never going to change. Unless God does something and steps in, you may always be sick You may always have that condition. You may always be depressed. Nothing is going to change for you. Now, the world is real good at teaching us how to cope with things. The world's real good. You know, give you medication to cope with your condition. But what the world is not good at is overcoming things. And many times that mentality creeps into the church to where the church just begins to look for, well, how do I cope with life? How do I cope with being a single mom? No, don't cope with being a single mom. Dominate being a single mom. Well, how do I cope with my depression? You don't. You seek God for a miracle. Amen? Because the world will tell you, here, just take this. You can deal with your depression with this. Now, here's, I always get myself in trouble here. I'm not saying don't take your meds. Amen? Tell your neighbor, take your meds. Please tell him that. Because I'm not saying that. I'm not making light of some of us that have been prescribed meds. Please understand that. Don't walk out of here thinking I'm trying to poke fun. Listen, those things are good to help you level out to where you need to be. But there's a God that can do a miracle where you won't need that your entire life if you'll simply believe. Are we on the same page now? Nobody's going to walk out of here all mad. Ah, oh, pastor, he don't understand. No, I'm just trying to shift our mindset about the God we serve, okay? Now, this scripture that we're starting with today, Romans chapter 8, verse 18 through 19, is something that we don't hear too much of, but I want to drop this in your spirit because what I have found in all my travels of preaching to churches and over close to 30 years, I have found that as Christians who have scriptures that tell us God is on our side, He is for us, not against us, we are still the wimpiest people when it comes to just a little bit of resistance. And it's time we change that. It's like we're all strong at church, but the minute we got to go through something, we want to leave Jesus. We want to go back to the bar. We want to go back smoking weed. Come on, somebody. We want to go back to the homies, go back to the club, because, oh, things are hard. Well, you know what? As our pastor always says, and we say a lot here, it's time to toughen up, buttercup. Amen? It's time to be tough. So look at this scripture here in Romans chapter 8, verse 18 through 19. It says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time." How many of you here have ever had present time sufferings? Can I get a good strong amen on that? Amen. It's amazing we get confused when we go through tough times. It's amazing to me. But even the world understands that life is hard. It's hard. There is suffering involved in life. And can I just help you a little bit and encourage you today? There will always be suffering in your life to some degree. Can I get a good strong amen on that? Amen, amen it, because it is the way it is. Nothing we can do about it. Now, I'm not telling you to believe for it. I'm not telling you to wake up every day and look for suffering. You don't need to. It's going to come. Don't waste your faith on that. Believe God for relief. Believe God for strength. But just know suffering's on the way. And can I just tell you something? Not all suffering's bad. Let me read it to you in the Passion Translation, Romans chapter 8, verse 18. It says this, "I am convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that's about to be unveiled in us." You know what that scripture says? Suffering's nothing compared to what's coming after it. Now, why is this so important? Because it's important as believers that when we're going through a little something, we don't lose hope. We've got to have the mindset, if I'm going through something, something good is on the other side of this thing. Because there's too many people quitting things prematurely. Quitting God prematurely. Quitting their marriages prematurely. Quitting their jobs prematurely. Well, Pastor, I just hate my job. I don't like my job. Listen, they don't pay you to like your job. That's why it's called work. That's why they got to pay you to be there. But yeah, we get so whiny. We get so, so hard. Listen, we've got to have right understanding that anytime suffering is involved, there's going to be a blessing on the other side to those of us that are in God. Amen? So Paul tries to set this up in the scriptures. He says, hey, follow me as I follow Christ. Y'all ever read that in the Bible? Did Paul suffer? You better believe he did. Dude went to jail. Amen. Some of you ain't alone. Praise God. You ain't alone. It's all right. Paul can be an ex-con and make it. You can too. Can I get an amen on that? Paul went to jail. Paul suffered a lot of things for the gospel's sake. And you know what he said? Follow me as I follow Christ. Did Christ suffer? When I read the Bible, it tells me he went to the cross and he died a horrible death so that you and I can come into the kingdom of God adopted as sons and daughters. Listen, we are not merely servants of God. Because of what Jesus did, he wrote up adoption papers so that you and I could call God Father, so that you and I could get written in the heavenly will and have an inheritance. Whatever is Jesus's is ours. It's ours. It's what God did. But did he suffer a little bit? Oh yeah, he suffered a lot. So Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Christ suffered. Paul suffered. Tell your neighbor right now, you're going to suffer. We don't like that. We don't like that. Some of us, as soon as we said that, we said, oh, I'm suffering already, Pastor. Praise God. You're talking right to me. Good. Listen, good. Because if you're in a place of a present time suffering, this word is going to help you go into that next level of life. Okay? So now look at Romans chapter 8, that same chapter, verse 27 through 28. He says this, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Oh, I should have got way more amens than that. Let me keep going. To those who are the called according to his purpose. You know what it just said in that scripture that y'all didn't catch? It says that no matter what happens to you, you will win if you keep walking with God. If you keep walking with God, you win. I know you just went through a divorce, but if you keep walking with God, you'll win. I know you just lost your job, but if you keep walking with God, you'll win. But it goes even deeper than that, because then it says that, and we know that all things work together for good, but not to everybody. Maybe not for your Theo, maybe not for your Thea, or your cousin, but it says for those who love God. If you love God, no matter what you go through or have been through, it'll work together to produce something amazing in your life. But only for those that love God. And this is where everybody goes, oh, well, I love God. Oh, I love God. Because have you ever noticed everybody loves God? Only except crazy people, you know. Satan, you know, all that kind of stuff. But you could go ask a drug addict right now who's shooting up, do you love God? They'll say, absolutely. You could ask these dudes that are in prison for murder, do you love God? They'll say, absolutely. But do you know how we tell who loves God? Obedience. Obedience. Obedience is the language of God when it comes to love. The only way Jesus receives love is every time we obey his word, he feels it. It's love to him. It's his love language. We say it here all the time. The love language of Jesus is obedience. When you got out of church to come into the house of God and you're here every week because you read in Hebrews to forsake not the assembling of yourselves, Jesus, you walked in, Jesus said, they love me. when the offering bucket came by and you put your tithe in it or you got on your phone and you gave your tithe this week, Jesus said, ooh, they love me. When you got that phone call on Friday night, WYD, at 1 a.m, Pastor, how'd you know? That means what you doing? Somebody go, WYD, what is that? Is that a new gang? When you got that text and you said, I'm sleeping, fool, don't text me no more. You know what? Jesus says, he loves me. She loves me. Why? Because when you live in obedience to the scriptures, that's translated as love in heaven. That's why we do what we do. That's why I'm up here with a mic trying to get you to look at God's word and then do his word, because there are blessings tied to people that love God. I'm not just talking love like, oh, we love you, God. Yeah. No, loving God is obeying his word. This is why we got to come at you like this, because some of you think loving God is an idea. It's not an idea. It's an action. Yet we still got Christians that want to date unbelievers, even though there's a scripture for you that says don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Do you know when you say, God, I'm going to live by this, he says, that's love. That's love. But when we turn our mind and we turn our ear to the scriptures and we do what we want to do, the opposite's true. There's no love being communicated to the Lord. Are you guys tracking with me? So this excites me. According to the, look, it says here, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. All things means all things. Tell your neighbor, all things means all things. It means all things. Some of the most terrible things, God didn't cause it to happen. Listen to me now. But if you follow him, he'll take the most terrible things and turn it into good. Now, I got to be clear on this, because there's a lot of bad teaching out there. Bad teaching says that God made this happen to me. I had to go through this divorce so I'd be a better person. No, you didn't. You'd have been a better person if you'd have just started living out the word. Let's not blame bad stuff on God. God don't make people sick. I should have got way more amens than that. God didn't give you your disability. You want to know why? Because the Bible says, in him is no darkness. Now, he can take a disability, he can take a sickness, and what? Make it work together for our good. Amen? He could take what was dealt with us and turn it around and use it for good. We've seen it in our own lives, our family. Many of you know my wife's testimony. You know, we've been all over the world sharing that side of our testimony. Her father abused her. Her father wasn't there for her. It was a terrible, terrible time as a young child she went through in her family. God didn't cause it. God didn't do that. Just like he didn't cause your situation. But do you know what I've seen God do? This year, my wife and I are celebrating 20 years of marriage. You know what I've seen God do with both of our pain? Use what hurt us, what damaged us, to bring good in our lives and the lives of other people. Most of you know my testimony. 19 years old, a young lady got pregnant, had an abortion, and I was a part of that. That brought me to my knees. Do you know every place I go and I share that story, somebody gets set free from their own shame, guilt, because of that? I was just in the Philippines, and I was sharing that to a group of pastors. And there was a pastor that I knew there for a very long time, had no clue she had that same situation happen in her life. But for 15 years, she's kept it a secret until she heard this guy from South Sacramento get up and say, the Lord set me free from that shame. He'll do the same for you. I'll never forget, we were in the nation of Croatia way early on in our marriage. My wife and I had only been married maybe 2 years at that point. We had done one of the first open-air outreaches in that region. It's called, it's a region in the Bible. If you read the book of Titus, Titus preached in the region of Dalmatia. And in that region there, we had been doing some outreach for young people because the church there was very small. I think the largest church in that region was 50 people. And so we went in there, and I had a couple guys that used to rap with me, and we took portable sound systems into the sound square, and we used to set up and just drop some rhymes. Don't get me started. I'll have to do that right now. But we did that, and we had these people following us to the venue. We'd stop every half hour, do a little set, grab about 20 kids. They'd follow us to the next set. By the time we got to the outdoor little area where we were going to have our meeting, there was over 100 kids. And they're fired up. And we sat in that outdoor arena there. And I handed the mic over to my wife. And she gave her testimony there. I think it was one of the first times she shared her testimony in the nations of the earth. And we saw that altar filled with young women that had been raped, that had been molested, and that had no answer for what had been done to them. And we laid hands on them. And God broke chains off of them. Guys, why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because whatever you've been through in your life, God can turn it around and make it work for good. Listen, we've been through some stuff as a family. We've been through some stuff. But let me tell you, God has turned it around, and he can do the same for you. Amen? You don't have to live in shame and guilt. Did you know when Jesus died on the cross, not only did he take your sins, but he took the guilt and the shame with it. Some of you, you know you're forgiven, but you still walk in shame. You still walk in guilt because, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I'm doing. You don't know what I'm dealing with, all that kind of stuff. Listen, Jesus did, and he died to take it. So the Bible says all things work together, and all things means all things. Let me read you this now in the Passion Translation, that same verse. It says this: so we are convinced that every detail of our life is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his design and his purpose. I like this translation because it paints something that I want to talk to you about for the next few weeks. It gives us a picture of something, as it says here, every detail of our lives is continually woven together. Another word that can be used for that word woven is mixed. Can be mixed together. Kind of like, as I'm thinking about this, kind of like a recipe. Your life is woven together or mixed together, your experiences, good and bad, to make something amazing when it's put into the hands of God. Your life is a result of experiences, good and bad, but in the hands of your God, he makes something beautiful. That's what your life is. The life that God has called you to have has a lot of ingredients. And this month, as we're talking about ingredients for miracles, we've got to look at what it takes to make something. How many of you in here had a mom or a dad that used to, usually a mom, but sometimes dads too. How many had a mom or a dad that used to make cookies for you as a kid? A lot of us did. If you under 10, probably not. Because moms nowadays, come on, we'll just go over to Rayleigh's. Times have changed. Tell your neighbor times has changed. Some of you kids under 10, you ain't never had a homemade cookie. Times have changed. I'm not throwing rocks. Times have changed. My mom used to bake. My mom used to get in there and make stuff from scratch. Right? Just get in there and just, get there and make stuff from scratch. Make a whole cake from scratch, not from the box. Some of y'all getting a revelation. You could do that? Pastor, I know your mom was a magician. No, you can make stuff from scratch. I know most of us don't know anything about that anymore. And I'm not throwing stones. We live in a different time, So please stop looking at me mean, some of you women out there. Some of you work in a job. And I get it. I get it. But some of us have moms or, you know, somebody that used to make things from scratch. And if you've ever made anything from scratch, how many of you have found that there are some ingredients in the recipe that you would never expect to be in there? You know, there's some given things, you know, eggs are probably in there, flour, sugar, cream. But then there's stuff, when you look at the recipe list, you go, what's that doing in there? Stuff like baking soda. Y'all know in order to make a cake, cookies, you got to put baking soda in there. Yo, baking's Arm & Hammer, y'all. Goes in the making of cookies. Now, trip out on this, okay? Nobody here is going to go home today and just take a spoonful of baking soda for a snack. It's not happening. Amen? You might brush your teeth with it. You might clean your toilet with it. People do that. Come on. But you know the same thing goes into making cookies? Do you know the same things like vanilla extract, which is hecka nasty. If you just have vanilla extract just like that, it don't taste good, y'all. Don't do it. Probably give you the runs, too. I don't know. It ain't made to be eaten alone. Right? I remember as a kid seeing my mom, I think she was making a cake or something, and I thought I was all sly because I saw her pull out of the cabinet Hershey's cocoa. Cocoa powder. And I watched her and look, ooh, cocoa powder. I thought it was quick or something, you know. I was like, ooh, when she puts that back, I know where it's at now. Know where it's at. That's mine later on. So I went into that cupboard there and no one was around. I thought I was all sly. Got me a spoonful of that Hershey's cocoa powder. Ha! And I spit it all over the counter and got in trouble. You want to know why? Because it's not made to be eaten by itself. You know what it needs? It needs other ingredients. It needs other things in it. And as we're looking at our lives and we're believing for miracles, people, I'm here to tell you this morning that there's ingredients in your miracle that you don't anticipate being in there. So we know all the regular stuff that we need to get a miracle. We know faith. Got to have some hope. Got to have prayer. Got to have our confession. But there's some hidden ingredients in there, y'all, that unless you have these things, you're not getting a miracle. It ain't coming. How many want to know what those ingredients are? Amen? I want to help you today because some of you have some of these ingredients working in your life. And you're trying to get rid of them. But here's the thing. You can't get a miracle unless all the ingredients are in there. Like I said, you take baking soda. You know what else is crazy they be putting in stuff nowadays? Lemon zest. Some of you are like, what? What's lemon zest? Lemon zest is when they skin the lemon peel, the peel on a lemon, and they throw it in a cake. Nobody here is going home and eating the peels off a lemon. But it goes in a cake. It's bitter. It's sour. Just like some of the things we deal with in our life. So let me give you three unseen ingredients today. I'm going to let you go that you're going to need for a miracle. Are you guys ready for this? Wake your neighbor up real quick. Just elbow him a little bit, even if you don't know him. Say, you ready? You ready? Get your phone out. All right, get your phone out. Get off of Facebook. We're going to write some things down today. Is this okay? You're going to write some things down because you need to identify them when they come so that you quit crying and know what it's for. Amen? So that you stop complaining and realize it's just an ingredient for a miracle. All right? Are you guys ready for this? First ingredient you need for a miracle. Number one, an impossible situation. You need an impossible situation. Some of you right now are in an impossible situation. Your credit's bad and you want to buy a house. Now, that's not a joke. Your credit's bad and you want to buy a house. You know what they're going to tell you if you walk in there today? It ain't happening. Impossible. You don't make enough to buy a house. You walk in there, they say, sorry, you don't qualify. Impossible situation. Before you go to crying, before you go to complaining, God, I've been serving faithful. Where are you? It's not working. No. He's just giving you the first ingredient. That's all he's doing. He's there. He's with you. So many times as Christians, we don't know what to do with impossible situations. It's like we sing about God who can do all things. We read about him, but we don't know him. You need to get to know him. God works amazing things in impossible situations. It may seem like you ain't never getting married, but God does impossible things. Amen? And what I learned early on, to be in situations where if this is going to happen, it has to be God. It has to be God. Because without God, it's impossible. When I was a single young man, I decided I'm going to get a wife that's outside of my pay grade. I decided I'm going to marry some woman that is amazing. That it has to be God that she says yes to the life that I'm called to lead. And then I moved away to Florida, and this speaks to some of you. I was in a church where I looked around, and let's just say there was a famine in the land. You may be in here today going, Pastor, I feel you. I feel you. I'm in that season. You may be. But it's in impossible situations, guys, that God can bring you the greatest blessings. Because there's a group of singles, they church hopping every Sunday. They're finding the place that has a harvest. But you know what they're going to get? They're going to get something that God ain't in. God moves in impossible situations. I'll never forget as a young man giving my life to the Lord, 19 years old, I was in an impossible situation. You know what my impossible situation is? Was I couldn't change my life. And I was on the life I had built at 19 was a life I shouldn't have been having. Guys, at 19 years old, I partook in a murder. Blood on my hands. I was raised in a Christian home. I knew better. My grandfather was a pastor. I went to church. I shouldn't have been sleeping around doing the stuff I was doing, but I did. And I got to a place where I couldn't change. If God didn't move in my life, I was going to continue to go down that road, and who knows the kind of life I was going to have. Guys, it was impossible. So you know what I did? I bowed my knees. I bowed my head, got on my knees, and I cried out to the Lord. And God took my impossible situation, and he's given me a life. He's restored me. He's done amazing things. I'll never forget, about 6 months after that, I'm seeking the Lord over at the Southgate Library, in the parking lot right over there. I'm at the parking lot, and I'm there praying because my dad said, hey, you can't be praying all loud up in here like this. Neighbors are going to call police and stuff. So I said, all right, cool, I'll go park. I parked over at Southgate Library, and I began to read his word, and God gave me, listen, an impossible dream for a 19-year-old kid who couldn't keep his room clean. He drops in my spirit, I'm going to take you to the nations. You're going to preach the gospel. You're going to build churches. You're going to be an apostle. I looked in the car. I was like, there's somebody else in this car with me, Lord. Because that's impossible. That's impossible. Lord, I'm still fighting these images in my mind. I'm still trying to get myself right. He said, it's going to happen. It was an impossible situation. But see, impossible situations have to be mixed with certain things. It's just like that baking soda. Baking soda by itself, it's not a good meal. It's not good. It's not even a good condiment. But when you mix baking soda with the ingredients that go into cookies, guess what it does? The acid in some of those ingredients cause the baking soda to produce bubbles that give a cookie texture. You try to eat a cookie without baking soda in it, that's a bunch of nastiness right there. But when it's mixed with the right ingredients, guys, it produces something good. It produces something amazing. So an impossible situation has to be mixed with something. The thing you got to mix impossible situations with, now write this down, you got to mix it with faith. You got to mix it with faith. Well, Pastor, my grandmother died of heart disease. My mom died of heart disease. And they're saying I'm going to die with heart disease. Diabetes runs in our family. And I lost my grandfather at this age, and now I'm coming up on that age. Listen, you can receive that if you want to. It sounds impossible. But with God, an impossible situation mixed with faith can produce something amazing. Now, what is faith? Faith is believing and speaking. We know that around here, believing and speaking. How do I stand in faith? Believe and speak. You know what else is faith? Faith is acting on God's word. Anytime you read something in the Bible and you do it on purpose, that's faith. Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the only thing that could change your impossible situation. It's when you get a word from God and you act on it. So at 19 years old, I got this impossible word. God, go to the nations. I ain't got no money. I don't know anybody in the nations. I could barely speak good English. How am I going to go to the nations? Who's going to take me to the nations? And Lord, let's talk about how expensive it is to go to the nations. How am I going to get there? I had all these questions. And I heard the Lord say, just do what I tell you to do. That's the faith part. An impossible situation mixed with faith can produce something incredible. But here is the part we lose people. People don't want to do nothing. They don't want to do nothing. They just want to say a prayer and have God magically fix your life. It don't happen that way. Ever. Tell your neighbor, ever. Tell your other neighbor, get off that train. Now go back to the other neighbor and say, stop believing that fairy tale. It's going to take some action to produce a great life. An impossible situation mixed with faith is an amazing combination. It's amazing. But we get people that get in an impossible situation and they give up. Guys, you're giving up because you don't like the first ingredient. Well, yeah, but it's too hard. It wasn't meant to be eaten by itself. You got to mix it with something. You got to mix it with a life of action. Can I get an amen on this? Amen. You're going to have to take some action. So impossible situations can be mixed with faith to produce something miraculous. So you got to take some action. You got to get involved in this process. We've all done this before. You've all experienced this to one level or another. Think about how you got saved. You got saved because you realized, dang, I can't fix my life on my own. I can't get to God without coming to Jesus. It was impossible. And you came to the Lord. You found salvation. Well, guess what? Everything else is going to follow that same thing. So God gives me a word, go to the nations. I say, how am I going to get there? He says, just do everything that I tell you to do. I say, okay, God, I'm with it. I begin to serve God. I go to church. He says, do whatever your pastor asks you to do. I said, cool. Pastor, what do you need me to do? He says, start a children's ministry. I didn't go, well, I'm not called to do that. Okay, that's what you need help with. I'll do it. Did it. Listen, I've done everything in a church. I've been a head usher. I've cleaned the bathrooms. I've done whatever has been asked. I've done it. Why? Because that was my faith in an impossible situation. About 8 years later, I get my first invitation to the nations. It's the country of Iceland. I'm like, wow, it's finally happening. It's finally coming together. I raise my money. I take my first trip to Iceland. And after that, the pastor says, I want you to go with me here to this place and that place. And we start traveling. I get to travel with my pastor a little bit. And we get to experience God in these levels. Not long after, I meet my wife. We get married. And I'll never forget, I had two invitations to go to El Salvador. One to El Salvador, and the other one was Puerto Rico. And they're within about 3 months' time of apart from each other. So I had to raise money for two trips. And I had to be away from my brand new wife for those periods of time. And I remember feeling the stress of it. Feeling like, man, God, it's expensive to go to these nations. Every time I go, I got to buy this ticket. I got to raise my money. You know, man, how are we going to do this? You said I was called to the nations. And I'm feeling the stress. I might not even be able to make this next payment for this El Salvador trip. And I was in prayer that day. And the Lord said, if you do what I say, you'll never have to worry about finances for a trip you've been invited to ever again. I said, yes, amen, praise God. And he said, but you got to do what I say. I said, okay. And he says, here's what I want you to do. So I'm all ready. He says, I want you to give your entire paycheck this week. Put it in the offering on Sunday. That's going to be your seed. And with that obedience, I'm going to make sure that you never have to worry about another plane ticket ever again. Got up from prayer. I was excited, but I had only been married now maybe 3 months. We were in our apartment at the time. And my first thought was, what is my wife going to say about this? I'd never experienced that before. I've been serving God as a solo guy all the time. Hey, it's just me and God. Let's go. Now I had a wife. And the Bible says that I'm to submit to her. Fellas, it says that. Amen? Submit to one another. Amen? I didn't get no amen from my kingsmen on that. Where you at? So I was conflicted. I was like, yes, but I was like, ooh, we're brand newly married. We was living in an apartment. We didn't have a lot of money to begin with. So I got out of prayer, and I went in. I said, hey, babe, I didn't talk to you. The Lord spoke to me about something. She was like, okay, cool, what? I was like, well, you know, I got these two trips coming up, and, you know, I'm trying to raise the money. She goes, yeah, it's been tight. I'm praying. And I go, well, the Lord told me he's going to bring the money in. But I got to do something. She was like, what? I need to give this week's paycheck in the offering on Sunday. She just looked at me. She said, okay, but how are we going to pay our bills this month? You know how tight things are. I go, babe, I don't want to pretend that I've thought this all the way through, and I don't know how, but I just know if the Lord has challenged me to give this, he said he'll take care of our needs, and I'll make sure that I never have to worry about another ticket. And single people, this is why you got to marry somebody that knows God. And married women, this is when you got to know you have a man of God that hears from God. And you got to have the ability as well to obey when the scriptures say, submit to your husbands. So she looked at me and she said, well, if that's what the Lord is telling you to do, let's do it. Yeah. So I gave it. We paid our bills that month. I don't even know how it happened. We went through it. And since that day, I've never had a problem raising my funds to go to the nations. I had an impossible situation. But listen, I mixed it with action, faith in the Word of God. And it produced a miracle. I've now been, I'll be close to 50 different nations after next year. Do y'all know how many plane tickets that is? You know how many thousands of dollars that is? Guys, I'm not a rich man, but God brings it every single time. And you know why? Because I took an impossible situation and I acted on his word for my life. What would happen if you would do that? Can I tell you what would happen? The same doggone thing. But we got people, they don't want to do nothing. We got religious people, as religious as the day is long. All they want to do is say a prayer and have God do it. And if you read the New Testament, he don't work like that. Everything God does, he wants to do with you as his partner. See, we want to pray, God, give me $1 million, and then go buy a scratcher. I see you came in today. Welcome to Elevate Life. Good to have you here today. But listen, it don't work that way. It works when you take an impossible situation, Mix it with an action based on God's word, you're going to get a miracle. I know you can't get off of drugs. You've been an addict 10 years, 15 years. I know you're in this cycle. Maybe you're doing good right now. Oh, you're good. But remember, you was good last year around that time. Then the holidays hit. It's impossible for you to do without God. But you're in the right place today, because if I could get you to act on God's word, impossible becomes possible. It's your first ingredient for a miracle. Because you know what happens if you don't know what to do with that first ingredient? You start mixing it with the wrong things. Depression, anxiety, worry, fear, bitterness. See, all you see is baking soda. God sees it as an important ingredient to make something yummy. Amen? I don't know what it is in your life that you're facing that looks impossible. But whatever it is, if you could find a word and act on it, God can do some amazing things. It's what the Bible is filled with. Look at Moses and the children of Israel. He brings them out of slavery. And what begins to happen is that Pharaoh begins to chase him. Pharaoh and all the armies begin to come up after them. They come up on the Red Sea. It's impossible. People start going, well, it was nice while it lasted. There's no way we're getting through this. It's a million people. We got to cross this Red Sea. A million people? But what did Moses do? He said, God, what do you want me to do? God, what would you have me do? And God says, you take that staff that's in your hand and you raise it. He raises the staff. We know the Red Sea parts. How many read that in the Bible? Or at least you've seen the movie. Come on, you at least seen the movie. If you ain't read it in the Bible, you've seen the cartoon. Prince of Egypt, come on. You've seen it. It's an example, y'all. It's impossible. Hear from God, do what God says. Miracle happens. David and Goliath. We got a Goliath, y'all. It's almost 10 feet tall. He's cursing the armies. He says, just send me one. Let's just get this over with. And whoever wins, that country will have everything that the other one needs, okay? Israel says, I ain't sending nobody. But there's a shepherd boy. He sees an impossible situation. He sees that if I take out this giant, I get the king's daughter, and I don't have to pay taxes? Sign me up. He goes out there, not with a shield, not with a spear, not with any of that stuff, but with a slingshot. And he goes into an impossible situation. And what does he do? He speaks the word of God. He said, man, God is for me, not you. God's on our side, not yours. And to prove I believe God's on my side, I'm going to sling this rock and it's going to knock you right in the forehead. And it did. What impossible situations are some of you trying to get out of? Stop it. Face it. Deal with it. Go after it. Find God's word and act on it. It's an ingredient for a miracle. Amen? Are you guys seeing this today? We got to get bold with our faith. Look what else we see. 12 disciples versus the world. Guys, these guys spent 3 years with Jesus. Uneducated, unlearned men is what the Bible called them. Knuckleheads. Some of them were fishermen. Some of them were as young as 15, 16 years old. Some of them had their mom bring them to the meetings, drop them off in the chariot. Couldn't even drive on their own. Yeah, read the scriptures. Knuckleheads. And they're coming in, and Jesus is like, y'all are going to change the world. He goes on the cross. Not a single one of those guys was anywhere to be seen. Not a single one of them. Gone. He goes to the cross. They disappear. And I'm sure Jesus is thinking, oh my gosh, it's impossible for my word to go out with these 12 knuckleheads. It's impossible. But guess what? When he rose from the dead, he gathered them back together. He gave him a word, and he said this, go to the upper room and wait there for us. Because what's going to happen in that upper room, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he's going to be, catch this now, the missing ingredient to take your jacked up knucklehead life and make you somebody amazing that's going to change the world. So here's the faith part. They did it. They went. And they waited in an upper room for days. It turned into weeks. It turned into a month. 40 days, it says they waited there. The Bible's also clear that more than just them went, but not more than them stayed. Because some said, oh, this is crazy. Ain't nothing going to happen. And they left. But what did happen? The Spirit came, fell, took 12 guys and transformed them into amazing people. And 12 guys, y'all, changed the world to where we're sitting in a building in 2019 preaching the gospel because of 12 unlearned, uneducated guys who had an impossible situation, but they acted on the word from Jesus, waited in the upper room, everything changed. What's your impossible situation, guys? What is it you're dealing with right now? What is it you're dealing with right now in your life? Man, Pastor, I want to start a business, but I don't have the know-how. Pastor, I don't have the money to do what God's calling me to do. It seems impossible. Mix the impossible with an action from God's word and see amazing things happen. I've seen it in my own life. I'll continue to see it. Listen, what we're in as a church right now, we're in an impossible situation. We don't have that money. But you know what we did? We heard from the Lord. He said, go before the people, take pledges, tell every person to do what I've asked them to do, and simply that. And that money's going to come. Now, the pledges that we received does not equate the amount that's needed. But you know what it does? It's not about the amount. It's about our obedience. If God told you to pledge $20, I hope you did it. If God told you to pledge $5,000, I hope you did it. Because the blessing is found in the obedience. It's impossible. But if we all act on the word of the Lord, what was the word of the Lord? Pray, ask God what he wants you to do, and then do it. The miracle comes. The miracle comes. It seems impossible. Seems impossible that your life is going to get right. Seems impossible that you're ever going to figure this thing out. But if you could just get one word, if you could just get in prayer and ask God, God, how do I do this? And do what he tells you to do, everything can change. Everything can change. I've seen it in my own life. I'm seeing it in my own life. And the Bible is full of impossible situations like that.
Hey everybody, Pastor Sergio here, and we just want to thank you for tuning in to our podcast. Make sure you check us out next week as we continue this series.